Father, I thank you again for a free country. Father, we thank you for the United States of America. Father, with all of its faults and all of its problems, Lord, still we are free to gather together like this to worship you, study your word, pray, and make intercession. Father, send revival. We're here, Father, to be vessels that you can use, to be molded by the potter, to be vessels that you can fill and use, Father, to bring a true revival to our nation. Father, have your way here tonight. Minister to your people, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody says, amen. We'll turn to Matthew 21. I know you've never heard any teaching out of that chapter, not ever. And again, he's going to have me exhort on faith a little bit tonight. Remember what happened? I was trying to find the verse quickly back in Job. It's where we get that phrase. He said, "What I have greatly feared has come upon me," you know. And Dave will often quote Hebrews 11:1 on the positive side. You know, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Well, see, fear and worry actually is the evidence of things that you hope don't happen. But that fear and worry can be so real. It can be evidence. It'll keep you up at night. Even though you have no... It's the only evidence you have of the terrible thing you're about to receive. I mean, you know, and fear and worry, really, is what makes us devourable. We've been talking about that in the last few weeks. That in Peter's writings, he says, you know, cast the whole of your care upon him. Cast all of your care on him. Why? Well, because he cares for you. And if you don't do that, he says, you're going to become that person. I'm not directing this at anybody. It's just what the Holy Spirit told me to teach tonight. He says, if that fear and that worry, not casting the care, is what makes us devourable. You know, the devil, he goes around like a lion, a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, if you leave that in context, what makes a person devourable is the very worry and the very care. So, if fear and worry is what makes us devourable to the devil, we've got to learn not only how to cast that, but see, if you don't replace it with faith, if you don't replace it with real, genuine Bible hope, it's going to come back on you pretty good. Fear is faith has to be developed. Fear comes naturally. I don't know if you know that. You can take water, dip it out. You got a hole. You get full of water. You dip it out. Next time it rains, guess what? It's going to be full again. You've got to fill the hole. You got to fill it with something else. See, and we've got to be a people that are filled with faith. I read like Stephen. You know, he did all kinds of miracles, but it says he was a man full of faith. So let's look at faith here a little bit tonight. Hallelujah. All right, where we're going to go here. Now, before I even read this verse, I'm going to tell you about the first eloquent preaching that I ever heard anyone preach on this passage we're about to look at, and it was Norval Hayes. I can take you back to those thrilling days of yesteryear. I know right where it was. It was 1980 in the camp meeting down, back from Florida. Been suffering for Jesus in Florida. Hallelujah. It was in 1980. I was brand new. Didn't hardly know anything. Just got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost a few weeks before. And I was hearing things that I had never heard ever. Even though I grew up in church, you know, our idea of a healing prayer was, "Lord, if it be thy will." And we were really shocked if they ever got healed, you know. We were happy, but we were shocked. And I was hearing messages from the Bible about faith that I'd never heard. So he would say, I remember Norval. He got up there, and I'm just listening, man. I got my ears wide open. And he says, a lot of people come to me after they'll hear me teach as Norval now. And they'll say to me, "Brother Norval, now my Aunt Susie was one of them shouting Christians. She loved the Lord, Brother Norval, went to church all the time, played the piano. If anything needed to be done, they called my Aunt Susie. Brother Norval, my Aunt Susie loved God. And she believed, she got prayed for, and she believed that she was healed, Brother Norval, but she died." What about that, Brother Norval? Or something. And his answer, it just shook me to my core. It still does today. He said, "Your Aunt Susie prayed for her healing and believed she was healed, yet she died." He says, "How could you know anybody like that when since the beginning of time, there's never been anybody like that?" And I went, like you're going, "What?" And it took us to this verse. He says, just look at Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. He says, "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." So his answer to her was, if your Aunt Susie prayed and still died of the disease, according to the lips of Jesus, I only can come to one conclusion. No matter what she said, no matter what you say, she did not believe it. Now see, that's just hard. Because that puts it all on us, doesn't it? See, you're not going to change God. You're not going to change His Word. Guess what else? You're not going to change the devil. Yet, let's see. There's, in this equation, there's God. There's His Word. There's the devil. Who else is involved here? Oh, there's me. But the good news is, we can change us. We can change us. Boy, ever since then, I have been on a quest. Because, I just be honest with you, most of the prayers I prayed, especially in those early days, and I thought I was believing. I thought I was doing everything right. Yes, sir, I'll tell you. Of course, first, those early days were very carnal anyway. What were your great faith-inspired prayers? Oh, I needed a new pickup. I needed a better house. I needed a better job. And for God's sake, my wife needed to start obeying me. Wasn't quite that bad, but almost. You know, I'm trying to make a point, you know. In other words, all of this word was all about me. See, I had no servant heart development, had no idea what my calling was or anything. So the reason why a lot of those early prayers didn't get answered, you know, a lot of times it's you have not because you ask not. Well, Norval got me to asking. But then the other half of that, or you ask, but you ask amiss, according to your own lusts, you know. When that was really the problem mostly in the early days. The stuff I was asking had nothing to do with God's plan for my life. I love the way Dave even talked this morning. You know, a lot of people think while they're praying in other tongues that they're making intercession for their new pickup truck. And it's a good thing they can't really understand what they're praying. Because what they're really praying is God thinks they need to start being nicer to their wife. Or quit stealing from the job where they're employed. Or things like that. See, God's working on transformation. But tonight we're going to emphasize faith, though. Look at it again. It's going to be the same the next time you look at it. All things. He didn't leave us any loopholes that I can find here, you know. Well, it only pertains to certain things. No. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. When I said a while ago, I'll say that, he was reminding me of one of my best friends. This was not too many years after that incident. It was probably 83, 84. I've known the man for over half my life. Good man, loved the Lord. I don't want to mention the denomination. But he was spirit-filled, you know. His denomination really wasn't much for that, but he was. But he developed cancer, real serious cancer. And so, by that time, I was teaching and Bible studies and different things, you know. Well, I didn't want him to die. Yes, sir. And I'd already been... Yes, sir. Yeah, okay. That's a good thing I taught it. See, later on I had to fight the same thing myself. Y'all know I was diagnosed, given 6 months to live. That was in 1990, by the way. That's been a long 6 months, you know. Well, this was before then. And I was teaching him along this line, and he was just one of several. I got him saying the right thing. I wouldn't leave him alone. I just kept going over there to his house, and of course he was going through the best treatment they had at the time, you know, and got real skinny and losing weight and all the radiation and everything. But when I was around him, then he would be saying the right thing. I'd get him into confession and confessing God's word and all the things that I knew to do. And when I was with him, he would do it. So I'm thinking everything's okay. And then one day I had a run into one of his sons, and got his grown sons, got to talking with him for a little while. And he says, well, you know, Dad's making these funeral plans, and he's got a lot over here, and he wants to have the bagpipe thing, and he wants to have this, and he wants to have that. I said, what? Wait a minute, what? Yeah, he's making funeral arrangements. Well, he wound up dying. Had a nice funeral. Played taps. Made me cry. You know, serviceman. Well, I got to really asking the Lord. He was a close friend of mine. I'd known him over 20 years. Got to asking him. I said, Lord, he was saying the right things. I know he spirit-filled. I know he believed you're a healer. I don't understand what's going on. Well, he taught me. The Lord taught me. That's when I started getting my first understandings about hope. Look, go ahead and turn to Hebrews 11:1. Just like you looked at that verse, go ahead and I want you to see it with your eyes. Hebrews 11:1. That's when he began teaching me about hope. And he says, look, real faith. He says, now faith. Wait till you, I hear the pages turning. I want you to see it with your eyes. See, we're never going to change what Jesus said. What things soever you desire when you pray. Believing. Believing. Well, what is believing? You could say faithing. You could say faithing. You know, have faith in God. Believing. What it, if I say believing, you know, that means kind of one thing to American humans. Faithing, faith has two parts, not just one. Faith is believe in the heart and confess with the mouth. His deal, I got him confessing with the mouth, but the image that he had in his heart was still a casket. He still saw himself dying. He did not really have hope. And that's what this is talking about. See, faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. That's when the Lord began telling me, son, getting people to just confess the word, just mechanically, if they do it enough, it'll build hope. But he said, son, somehow hope has to be imparted to them. If they don't really have an image that they're going to come off of that sick bed, if they don't have an image that they're someday, they're going to get past this and they're going to be healed again, or, you know, restored to health, if they don't really have that image, if hope is not there, then faith has nothing to give substance to. And they're just going through the motions. So, you're going to have to, nobody can get inside of you but you, I guess in the Holy Ghost. Look around on the inside, and regardless of what you say, what are those images in you? Are they being painted by fear? Are they being painted by God? You spending enough time with the Holy Ghost? Whenever my eyes fall on somebody, I'm not picking on you, okay? Are you spending enough time with the Holy Ghost? He's able to draw with the brush of the Lord on the canvas of your heart the things that are coming. Like, you know, your call. Really quiet. Because if you don't, I'm telling you, by default, the devil through the world, through the news, and through your well-meaning friends are going to paint images of destruction and defeat, death, fear. And what you really meditate in your heart, what you really see, whether it be fear or faith, just like Job, what I have greatly feared has come upon me. Now, Dave teaches it from this passage. Now, you know, like faith is a substance. Again, fear is the substance of the thing I don't want. But boy, it's the evidence of that horrible thing that's trying to come after me. And how is that normally painted? Through circumstances. The devil's brush normally is circumstances. You know what? What's God's brush? His Word. Whether it come from His written Word, whether it come by His rhema word to you. But either way, you're going to have the... Yes, sir. See, and you go into the wrong church to not be accountable for these things. You know, we're not at the first church right now. God bless them. Like Dave says, thank God for them. Where would we Pentecostals get our people? You know, God bless them for what they do. But for you to go, well, I didn't know what you called me to do, Lord. You've already been coming here too long for that. You already know what to do to find out. I still like what Zig Ziglar said, you know. People tell him all the time, say, I don't read the Bible because there's a lot of it I don't understand. He says, I don't think it's the part they don't understand that's giving them the problem. Well, prayer is very much like that. See, you know, everybody's excited about the message. People move here from Nebraska and Florida and maybe Tennessee. They move because they're excited until they start doing it real soon. Then you start really doing it in earnest, you know, and it's exactly how Dave teaches. What happens is like the Holy Spirit takes that flashlight, you know, just like going into a dirty attic that nobody's been in for ever, you know, and you turn that flashlight on, cobwebs and dirt and filth. You don't want to touch anything in there. And the first reaction is, well, look at all the dirt this light brought. I was fine before I turned on the light. That's the way it is. Yeah, turn the light off. And that's what people do with prayer. So they leave here going, Dave's wrong. I hate Gary. I'm never going back. Don't ever want to do any of that stuff again. Well, what happened? You turned the light on and it's ugly. I have met the enemy and he is me. You know? Well, at first it's just it's a sweeping operation. We want to hear our call the first week. He's trying to get some of the cobwebs out. He's just dealing with the dirt that's on the surface. We're not even ready to talk about calling yet. You know? Well, I was fine till I started praying. I feel worse now than when I started. It's working. That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to make you unsatisfied with your little self. Why? Because what he's really doing, he's holding up the image of Jesus in that mirror that doesn't change. It'll never change, that image. And he says, I want to conform you to that. So, and we go, yeah, good luck. He said, well, in order to conform you, let's just take a tiny little thing. Well, you need to stop this. But I love us that. But you're going to have, that's not like him. But I love us that. Well, I thought you wanted to find your calling. And then I love the way Dave says it. You can't improve on it. Can't you just give me revival and leave me alone? And the answer is he can, has, is still doing that. There's some going on right now. But there's very little transformation to the image of Jesus. False doctrine to the 10th power. And yet God wants to heal. If all the... I can't go very far this direction because he's talking about something else. But see, all down through these centuries, if God only poured out revival on people whose doctrine was perfect, there wouldn't have been any revivals. He pours it out on people who will let him. Now here it is again. You're not going to like this part. You don't get from God what you deserve. Thank God. See, the ones that still think they deserve something from God are the ones that haven't spent enough time in that attic yet. You know, I don't want what I deserve. Trust me, I do not want what I deserve. But you don't get from God what you deserve. You get from God what you believe. That's it. That's what you get. You get what you believe. Hallelujah. Well, this is a strange night. It's not always like this, where I don't even know the next sentence, you know. Well, he's not wanting to give you another canned faith message. Although, very often that's good for you. Need another can of spam, you know, a can of faith, you know, open it up again. Fry it up again. Eat it again, you know. Sometimes it's good. But what he's really trying to do is work on the image part, the hope part, so that really you can change. The days of I can't for you are over. They're just over. So, well, that's the way I've always been, that's the way I am. And you're just going to have to love me the way I am. We do. He does. Still doesn't mean you can't change. You can change. And you're going to change. Or you're going to be gone. And you'll be watching the revival from the grandstands like most of them. I don't want to be watching from the grandstand. Already been paid too big a price for that. I want to be on that side of the green line. Amen? Where the Lord can use me. So, I saw her on TV again the other day in that medical truck. That's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. They did another little thing on TV, and blessing and helping a lot of people. Thank God. Okay, Lord. It's your service, apparently. What do you want to do now? See, yes, sir. I have enough trouble getting people to just start calling things that be not as though they were. I mean, that's just step one. If you know, how are you going to walk together with Him if you're not agreed? Can two walk together lest they be agreed? So, we could go over to John 6 where they said, well, what must we do to work the works of God? And he said plainly, this is the singular, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom God has sent. Well, if you're praying and not receiving, according to Matthew in 21 there, what we read, what does that mean? If you're praying and not receiving, you're not believing, all right? Well, believing has a lot to do with hope. It has a lot to do with the image. Mostly at these services, we talk about calling those things that be not as though they were and getting your mouth in line with God's Word. But you've already had 92 messages on that, at least. Okay? What we want to talk about tonight is how are you going to change the hope that's on the inside of you? Well, how does the devil... Let's do it in reverse, because you're highly accomplished at it when it comes to fear. You're highly accomplished at it. What do you mean by that? Oh, they laid me off. We're going to lose... And here comes a lot of things that you have no evidence for at all. We're going to lose our house. We're going to lose our car. We're going to be bankrupt. We're going to be on the street. I remember when I... contemplating obeying God when He told me to leave my trucking job. That very high-paying truck quote trucking job, which really wasn't at all. I'd get up at night. I didn't. Are you kidding? I had visions. We had an old, you know, I've told you about the ugly building. I still owned that at that time. Nobody had been on that property in like 15 years. I had visions of Sue and I have to move in that place and sleeping on the floor. No electricity. I mean, I'd wake up. I'd finally doze off to sleep, and I'd wake up, just fear all over me. What is the devil doing? He's using circumstances to paint images that will cause me to meditate on that. And if I don't do something different, that could very well have happened. Okay. Well, we know how to do it on the fear side. We take the circumstances, I meditate on it, and let it draw pictures in my brain. Until it gets so bad that now my emotions are involved with the pictures, and sure enough, it comes to pass. I know how to work this. Well, now we just need to work it on the faith side. Just work it on the faith side. You do it exactly the same way. You get God's word on it, whether it be, I mean, you know, you don't have to have a special word from God to get saved. You know, people, they've taken Rhema to the extreme. Oh, you can't take anything just out of the book because it's there. You have to have a special Rhema. Oh, you don't even know the flaky stuff. You have to have a special Rhema of God. I've had people come, you know, with their great theology. I say, you know, anyway. How dumb can you be and still breathe, you know? Well, you need a special Rhema from God to get saved? No, you've got the book. And it's for everybody. It's, you know, it's to all who will believe it, see? You don't need a special Rhema from God to get healed. I mean, Himself bore your sicknesses and carried your pains. You just need to believe that. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, see, that's universal. But what you can't do, and I thank God for this, see, I can't claim that for Sue and I at our age now to have a baby like Isaac. And I'm really glad. I'm glad that's not a universal promise to us all. You know, she'd be, don't touch me, boy. Don't you come near me. You sleep in any ugly building, I'm telling you right now. You ain't coming around me, you know. Now see, well, of course you can't, you know, there are certain things that depend on, I got Aaron. There are certain things that depend on your calling. You can't claim a promise like that. See, you got to find out what it is God's called you to do. But boy, when you find out what that is, your provision is on that path. Well, that's what we talk about. See, so there's two ways to go here. Images, God's images, how He paints that hope thing in you. One comes from His Word, His written Word. And like a lot of things you can get directly from there. Healing, salvation. Do you know the salvation for all your children is there? It is. God believes in family salvation. Ask Noah, ask Lot. God believes in family salvations. Okay? So many things you can get directly. But then at this church, and this is where I thank God that we found this place. Yeah, but how do I find out? Is there a way to find out what He has really called me to do? Yes, there is. And it's through this, like Dave was teaching this morning, through this private prayer language, what we call for edification, where you basically step aside for a little while and let the Holy Spirit begin making intercession for your life according to God's perfect plan for your life. You don't know God's plan, but the Holy Spirit does. He said, look, if you'll allow me, just step aside for a moment. Get your intellect out of the way. I know exactly God's plan for your life. And I'll just, however many hours you'll let me, I'll just begin to make intercession. And if you'll allow that to happen, pretty soon you'll start understanding it. Your understanding at that moment is unfruitful, but in time those revelations will be passed to your spirit. Your spirit will begin passing them to your mind, and you'll start understanding what it is He's called you to do. And step by step by step, I'll get you right in the center of God's will. Now, as that begins to happen, you're going to start receiving instructions little at a time. He doesn't give you too much. He knows we'd all run like scalded dogs, you know. He doesn't give you too much, but He gives you just enough to make it impossible. But not always. I won't say that exactly. Like one of the early instructions for us, once He finally got me out of the trucks, He wanted to have a Bible study in our house on Thursday nights. See, that's not too much out of the realm of possibility. You know, what part of that instruction do you not understand? And we knew who to go after. We knew not. It wasn't for prayer center people, for crying out loud. They're already getting the best filet mignon you could possibly get through Dave. No, He told us who to go after. It was people that weren't in church at all and had been hurt in church, but yet they didn't hate the Lord or anything. And He said, they'll come and listen. They'd love to come and learn about me, but they're a little bit afraid of church, you know. But if you'll make your living room just like family, and they'll come. Well, that's what I mean. Yes, sir. And he said, look at the... Anyway. I told you it's a miracle whenever preachers quit after 40 minutes. It's just an absolute miracle. Yes, sir. I want to share this with you now. The only image I had at the time was just that little Bible study. And He gave me enough where I could understand that and we could do that. It wasn't easy for us financially. We were emotional wrecks at the time. Seemed like Thursday was hell day for Sue and I all day long. You know, any other day, go, love you, baby. Kiss her on the cheek. That day, love you, baby. Kiss her on the cheek. What do you mean by that? You know? And vice versa. I mean, it's like our emotions were just like raw hamburger, you know? And you just, things that other days would be fine. On this day when we're supposed to represent God to the people, dear God, we're lucky to survive till 7 o'clock, you know? You know, not be out beating each other up. But now, see, what's happened over time, we did that for 2 years, and he gave us instruction. But see, what happens if you don't quit doing the message, and I'm just going to tell you, most people do, even the ones that don't leave. Boy, nobody's looking around. Nobody. Most people, and I don't mean they've turned against the message, just if you followed them around with a stopwatch and counted how much time they actually pray after they've been here a few years. Nobody. Listen how quiet. And what happens then, they just basically get neutralized and they say, well, maybe these other people are praying and I can watch. Or something. I don't know what. See? It's really hard to keep going on. Because what happens, the transformation process does not stop. He's still got more to change. He's still got more to show you. Okay. Now, here's my... I think what gives us hope... Okay, for tonight, let's do it this way. I want to do that picture again. I need an empty chair. I'll go all the way down here. What? I'm going to go down here. I want you all to get this image. If nothing else, get this image. Here's what's going on when you're praying in other tongues. You know, it says, when you're speaking in an unknown tongue, your spirit is praying, but your understanding is what? All right, now understand, if there was a curtain right here, this represents the Holy of Holies. Only person that can go in there is the part of you that's created and born of God. That's your spirit, man. When you come up to the Holy of Holies, your soul can come right up to that door, right up to the curtain, but it basically has to sit outside. So here, get this image now. This is why it's so hard. You're sitting outside the curtain, your soul is. Your spirit, man, it goes right on in there and begins worshiping and speaking in other tongues. And if I had another chair here and a big blackboard, or whiteboard, I guess they have nowadays, then I'm sitting here in the chair and the finely dressed gentleman at the chalkboard, that's the Holy Ghost. And every hour that I am praying in other tongues, my spirit is in direct communication with the Holy Spirit. He is not only giving revelation knowledge of the Word of God, He's also imparting things concerning my calling. He's also imparting things in me that need to come to the surface to be changed. So all of that's going on, and it's exciting for your spirit. Your spirit man's very excited during that time. Your soul? It doesn't have a clue what's going on. It made the commitment to pray for 2 hours today. It starts praying, Shandala Bakusta Lebrando Sika Mandori. Looks at the watch and it's like, 5 minutes, oh my God. Why in the world did I commit to this, you know? And then sometimes those days are great. I mean, once in a while, a revelation will come. I mean, somehow the Holy Spirit will impart something out of the Word you never saw before. Man, I love those days. Man, I have running fits, you know. Glory to God, I want to call everybody. Did you know, you know? Those days are great. The other days, this habit you have. or whatever it is, you know. Something. Those are not great days. And for your first tendency is that if I quit praying, he'll forget about that. You drop out of prayer for a month or 6 weeks. Start praying again. Guess what? I mean, almost in the first sentence, boom, there it is again, that same thing. Why? Well, that's the next thing in you. That's what we call an impasse. That's the next thing that's got to change. But if you can get an image while you're praying in other tongues, no matter how boring and dull and seemingly ineffective it is, it's only because your soul at that moment is sitting outside the Holy of Holies. At that moment, it just doesn't understand. But boy, when your spirit receives from God whatever it is, whether it be a revelation or a vision or something about your calling, once your spirit understands, it's really your spirit that comes back and parts the curtain. Hey, soul, check this out. And passes to your understanding whatever it is. Boy, those are great days. Those are great days, okay? Now, okay, here we go again. He doesn't want me to just deliver a nice little message on hope and go, y'all leave and nothing changed. You know what tomorrow is? Huh? Tomorrow's Monday. And I already know the devil that's coming after you. His name is Samo. Same old, same old. Same old rut, same old problem, same old spouse, same old kids, same old boss. Same old backache, same old headache, same old everything. And if you don't do something on purpose to change, you'll cycle this message around next year and you go, didn't I hear that a year ago? So I'm going to call this message, Work on Your Hoper. The part of you that hopes. What are you seeing? So, well, I'm not seeing nothing right now. Well, that's better than being full of fear. At least maybe you're at neutral. But if you'll pray and meditate the Word, He will start painting images on the inside of you that will change. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Work on your hoper. Okay? Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay? Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Well, see? It's a miracle. I quit. Open up to two places. Let's just take a few moments. Somebody, you need a little help painting some new pictures. Turn to Psalms 34 and Psalms 1. I'm just going to give you two examples. How many of you know that if you turn on the Fox News or any of the major news channels, recession, recession, recession is all you hear about right now? And even today they announced another bankrupt airline. Okay? And there's no doubt. I mean, you know, there's problems in the land. Okay? Now, watch a picture. Look at it. I want you to see how, in those days when he had me confessing his word, one of the things he was doing was showing, painting hope, painting pictures on the inside of me so that I don't be so moved by the circumstances anymore. And our circumstances were horrible. Horrible. But Psalms 34:10 is one of the verses. Now look at this. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord, in King James it says, shall not want any good thing. But if you look up that Hebrew word want there, it's the root word for lack. Why they said want, I don't know. So let's read it like it really means. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I don't know how long it took for the picture to begin forming on me. Is a young lion, one that's in his prime. I mean, you know, you talk about if there's any animal that was designed to be able to provide for its own needs, it's the lion. Sharp teeth, those powerful legs, those hunting skills. I mean, if anything ought to be able to provide for itself, it'd be the young lion. But sometimes, probably not the lion's fault, maybe a fire went through, maybe a drought went through the land. Well, based on circumstances that is beyond a lion's control, sometimes a lion might suffer hunger, might, you know, go along with everybody else. There's a drought in the land. What's the promise? Those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And it's not based on your own ability. It's based on His ability. You got to let that paint a new picture. I'm sorry for you, lion. I know you're very self-sufficient. I am God-sufficient. My God supplies all of my need, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You may hunger and suffer lack. Come to my house. I got food. Glory to God. Not me, though. It's not me. You're not going to eat me. I'll feed you. Let's look at one more. Go to Psalms 1. Now, this is for the meditator. This is for the person that's willing to meditate in God's Word. Show you what He's like, and it'll paint a picture for you. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, that's the news. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. We have more than the law today. You'd say his delight is in the Word of God. And in his Word doth he meditate. Just like we looked over there at the line. We're meditating day and night. What'll happen for a guy that does that? Now here's a picture for you. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's a promise for the meditator. Now get the picture. Okay, there's a river. It's a river of God's life, a river of God's revelation. Out of your inner belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Holy Ghost. It's talking about the Holy Ghost. Now, if you get a picture of a tree that's planted right by that river, so its roots go down and it's drawing the nourishment from the river. Now, trees that are farther away, there's a drought in the land. They're totally dependent on external circumstances. Those trees are dependent on the rain, buddy. And when the rain doesn't fall, their leaves wither and they die. But you are not like them. You are a tree planted right next to the river of God's life, His Word, His revelation, His promises. And everything around you may be withering and dying. But whatever you do will prosper. Because you're drawing from God's own life. Hallelujah. God. Now that'll paint a picture in you. The devil try and paint pictures of lack and fear and recession, depression, everything else, you know. But man, if you'll meditate in God's Word and get His Word coming out of your mouth, it will change your hoper. Your hope will see God pictures. And your faith will bring them to pass in this earth. But faith has two parts, don't forget that. Believes in the heart, says with the mouth. Most people fail at the saying with the mouth. Hallelujah. Okay, one more. I would say the last one, but I don't know. Well, y'all know, those of you that's been here for the last 3 years know, I was getting in very bad physical condition regarding my back and my hips. And I'm at the age where a lot of my friends are getting hip replacements and they're getting, you know, part of the vertebrae fused and all kinds of stuff going on. And I mean, the pain was, pain, when it's constant, boy, it starts painting pictures. And sure enough, you know, I mean, and the thing of it is, you know, I told you, I'm not going to teach long on this, but because it came on me so gradual, I didn't really recognize that as being an attack. My mind was just, and I just started speaking in line with everything that was happening to me. Oh, my back is, here's a great confession for a faith man. My back is killing me. Man, if this gets any worse, I'm going to have a hip replacement. I'm just speaking right in line with it. Thank God for my little wife, who, you know, in love, respectfully but firmly, put her finger right up there towards my nose and said, if you don't change what you're saying, the devil is going to put you in a wheelchair and steal all the rest of your ministry. And the thing of it is, I didn't realize until she did that how my words were just calling those things that are as though they are. And I have to admit, I was starting to see pictures of Gary in a wheelchair. Well, some of you know, I was so bad here one night, I had to preach in a chair here. I couldn't stand up to do it. Well, I had to change what was in my hoper. And part of that is change what you're saying. And I mean, I asked the Lord to set a watch on my lips, and I was stunned. If you ask Him to do that, He'll give you like a half second hesitation. Right before you say it, you hear it. And you go, oop. You know? And I was stunned how many things I had to stop from coming out of my mouth. Then I had to, on purpose, begin filling my mouth with Scripture, and letting the Word start painting pictures again. No, I'm not going to be in no wheelchair. Now, I'm still in the same pain. If anything, it got worse for a while. And, you know, here I'm crawling across the floor from the living room to the bathroom. I mean, from the couch to the bathroom. By His stripes I'm healed. You know, I'm going to preach again in Korea. And on and on and on. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. On and on and on. And as you can tell, I am much better now. I believe by now, this, if I hadn't turned that thing a couple years ago, I don't know if I'd even still be able to minister. I don't know what would have happened. Might already be gone. Thank God I don't have to know. Never going to find out. Hallelujah. So I'm just, again, it's not just in the realm of finances. It's in the realm of healing. It's in the realm of your children. Boy, and it's, anyway, we don't, I mean, there's no realm where this does not work. You don't need, I mean, it's, now, I said earlier, you don't need a rhema from God, but sometimes you get a rhema from God. Now see, those, we call those prophecies. It could be tongues and interpretation, but in, by whatever means, you get a word. That's for you. And you're going to have to war over that prophecy. You're going to have to read it again and again and again. Meditate on it. Whatever it is God said. Let pictures start forming in your brain from the Holy Ghost of how that's going to come to pass. Okay? Again, we're going to work on our hoper so that faith has something to give substance to. Hallelujah.